Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Ho, 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 hello, and welcome to the Lovely Travels podcast, fellow elves. Hi, Emma.
Good tidings to you.
Oh, good tidings we bring.
Your kings.
Yes, or whatever your local favourite sports team is.
Yeah, go Sydney Kings. Not in Sydney anymore, but anyway. Yes, Merry Christmas, everyone. Well, it's 3 days till Christmas. So we thought probably best to do a Christmas episode, and it's our first year, so that's a bit fun. So I don't know what we're going to do next year. Maybe we'll be having Christmas together.
Yeah, or just another Christmas episode.
Yep, we can just keep it moving. So
keep the tradition of Christmas alive.
We will. So what we wanted to do today, though, was talk about you know, you're living in Germany, so I wanted to hear about what Christmas is like in Germany. I'm very fortunate to have been there very near to Christmas and experienced some of the lovely traditions. There are many. So that's really cool. And then we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what's Christmas like in Australia, which is quite different for some of our foreign listeners. It definitely doesn't really sometimes feel Christmassy when it's very, very hot and you're used to seeing photos of things in the snow, but it's what we're used to and what we've grown up with. So we have our own traditions. And then, yeah, I've actually been very fortunate to be in and around about 12 or 13 different countries around Christmas time.
Wow.
So just talking about some of the things that I've seen in the different places and some of the little, how it feels to be in a different place for Christmas.
Hmm. That sounds good. I hope I can bring across some of the German festiveness, because this year it is not all that festive. You know, a lot of office Christmas parties have obviously been cancelled. We've got no Christmas markets. We've got no, well, I think that's the main bit that's keeping it from being festive. And everyone's just a little bit sort of down.
And the Christkindlmarkt or the Weihnachtsmarkt are a big part of Christmas in Europe, but particularly in Germany.
Yeah.
So that is a shame. I hadn't really thought about that. But, you know, I've had seen people posting quite a bit lately, and especially this weekend, as we see some of the restrictions and lockdowns coming back, which, to be honest, considering the, you know, how much frivolity we usually engage in, it might be smart considering the year that we had. But people are saying things like Christmas is cancelled, and that's ridiculous. Christmas is not cancelled. It never is cancelled. It might look a bit different. It might feel a bit different, but the things that Christmas is about is meant to be about
presents.
Joy, peace, love, being there for one another, remembering the important things in life. And so please, wherever you are, Christmas isn't cancelled. You can still be a good person. You can still reach out to your loved ones, and you can have some new fun little traditions in your own house. You know, let's get creative.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying seeing the decadently decorated trees of my friends this year, because it seems like people are going all out at home, at least, you know, and German Christmas trees can get, or German Christmas decorations can be pretty full on.
They're very luxurious and quite regal, even. Very, very rich colours and very old, traditional. Our Christmas tree is not traditional. I am quite the humbug bar humbug. I'm a bit of a Grinch. I do not like decorating. I love decoration. I love going to the, you know, the, like I said, with the Christmas markets. I love being in places that are like when it's cold, like England and the US, you know, seeing all the decked out places. I think it looks really beautiful, really magical. I just don't want it in my house. I don't want to have to put it up and I don't want to have to take it down.
That's fair.
So we, some people mistake my not wanting to do it for not having it. And then they buy it for me. And that is definitely a misconception because I didn't want it. So I do have a wreath on my door and some little grass, little reindeer things that my mother-in-law has managed to hustle in, sneak in. And my mum 1 year bought me a Christmas tree. It's like a white, I'll put a photo up of it on the socials. It's like a white bare tree. With little twinkle lights on it on the branches, and she had given me one decoration. The following year, she bought me more decorations, and I had to reinforce that I don't want this. But Matthew, my husband, has actually put the tree looks more like a twig with some lights on it, to be honest.
So it's not a traditional evergreen from the pine family.
No, it's a plastic twig.
I think, and from the few Christmases that I had in Australia, you know, it was never really quite as Christmassy. I remember we had a Christmas palm tree 1 year, and we had a Christmas. I had this inflatable alien from the Easter show. It was green, and we decorated him as a Christmas tree 1 year. But yeah,
I mean, some people do go love it and go all out. And when I was a kid, we had the Christmas tree and we all had our own special decorations and mum and dad had some beautiful sets of decorations. But since I've been really living in God knows where since 2011, I've not lived at home. Even then I was living in other places overseas at times. You know, trying to keep and store decorations and move them about with me is not really realistic. So if the house I'm staying in or the people I'm living with decorate, then yay. But both Matt and I really are not fussed. And I keep being told that next year we will have to, Darius, because we'll have a child. And I said, I don't have to do anything. Two, I will have an 11-month-old and a cat. Do you really think that decorations and baubles and little shiny like bits that people can eat and swallow is a good idea? I don't think so.
Was that a rhetorical question? Because it is not rhetorical. A good idea.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, in case I was on the fence, which I think my sarcastic tone probably proved I wasn't, thank you for clarifying. It's not a good idea. If we do decorate, it will be very high.
Sure. I've had Christmases like that too.
So tell me, you have done quite the extensive research, which I always appreciate. And you know, sure. I'm thankful and grateful for you, Darius, and your fun facts throughout the year, bringing joy to many. Bring us home with some fun facts and tell us what is Christmas like in Germany.
Well, to start off, Emma, did you know that Christmas is actually celebrating the birth of my old buddy Jesus?
I actually did know that fact.
Okay.
Small but important fact about what is Christmas.
What is Christmas?
And I think people people don't necessarily always say Merry Christmas now. Sometimes we say wishing you a festive season or something because there are many cultures around the world who don't, you know, if you don't have Christianity or Catholicism, you probably aren't really celebrating Christmas. However, it's really, really spread, and there are a lot of countries where the main religion is not that. However, they quite like all the Christmas stuff, but we call it a festive season. So
sure. Well, and a festive season in Germany, it is quite a long season, and it feels like just after Halloween, so end of October, start of November, supermarkets, you know, start putting all the chocolatey Christmas food in the shelves, and that is sort of the like the inaugural start of the Christmas season. Whereas actually it you know, the end of November is the start of the Advent, which is like a historically a season of fasting. And then the Advent time. Yeah, fasting. Sorry. But
we definitely don't do that.
Segue.
We pretty much what? Eat.
Oh, no, and people don't really fast here. I guess you have to be super religious or super conservative Catholic to actually fast during that time, because I don't really hear of it.
No. But is there something about eating fish, or is that only at Easter? Can you eat fish
at Christmas at some point? So the fasting is keeping the food simple and stuff. So yeah, fish was historically considered fast safe. I've gone on a tangent of fasting, which I know absolutely nothing about.
Well, I'm eating chocolate as you're talking, so if you could keep rambling, that'd be great.
Keep rambling? Okay, no.
Anyway, back to some more important Christmas days.
Generally, Christmas starts, or the Christmas season starts, with putting up the Advent wreath, which is like a circular, it doesn't have to be circular, it's a symbolic sort of four candle situation. And then it's the four Sundays before Christmas. Today it's actually here you would say happy fourth Advent, because it's the fourth Sunday, or the last Sunday before Christmas, and the fourth of the Advent Sundays. So
you're ruining Christmas, the podcast magic, Darius, letting our listeners know that we're recording early.
Oh, they know that. They know that. Come on.
Christmas is ruined.
Christmas is not ruined, Emma. Christmas is not ruined. We will unruin it with the cheer that we are spreading. But one fun sort of Christmas season tradition is so Saint Nicholas comes on the 6th of December. And on the 5th of December, German kids, put some shoes outside the door. And in the morning, there will usually be a few presents, a bit of chocolate and sweeties and stuff in the shoes. And that was Saint Nick giving you a little taste of Christmas before Christmas actually happens.
That's a tradition I can get on board with.
Yeah.
Yeah, putting stuff, chocolate in my shoes, please do. I shall advise Matthew that would be very lovely.
So 5th of December, put your shoes out. And then I guess the Christmas season usually is all the city centres, they will all have some sort of form of Christmas markets where they sell delicious nuts and snacks and fried food and all sorts of
Glühwein.
And Glühwein. It's like mulled wine, I believe it's called.
Crepes with Nutella.
Crepes with Nutella and pork sandwiches and other sorts of pork. Which is nice, because it's like a very social thing. You go there and you have a few Glühweins with your friends and all of that is pretty much cancelled this year.
The markets are cancelled, not Christmas.
The markets are cancelled. That's right. Because, yeah. And then
they're very charming. They look like little, all the little market huts that look like chalet type.
I'd probably take him for granted. What is your experience of a German Christmas market?
Well, I was, you and I arranged in 2006 to meet up the ones in Köln.
Yeah.
Which should be said as Cologne to us foreigners,
right?
Which is one of the most famous, or one of the biggest ones. I think Munich is massive too. There's like, and they actually have, they're so big that you have regions. So you go to there'll be like the medieval area, and then there'll be this one, and there's the this one. And so you could have five different Christmas markets around the city. And depending on your taste, you would go to the different ones, but they're really, really charming. There's usually some Christmas trees being sold. Each stall generally is dedicated to one specific thing, one item. Mm-hmm. So whether, if they are selling the I love the nuts, like all the they're sort of the candied nuts, well then all they do at that stall is the candied nuts. And if you know, there's the crepe stand and there's the Glühwein stand and there's the selling those beautiful glowy glass things that you put the candle in. That's all they sell. Mm. And so, but then, yeah, they just eat, they look like little chalets. So it kind of looks like this tiny little village that you go into.
Sure.
There'll be music on and there might be some entertainment, usually some, there might be a children's area with like rides and things, like little merry-go-round. And it's generally just a really fun place of good spirits that families go to. People go after work, meet their friends.
There's also almost always some sort of bar involved. And the Glühwein, the mulled wine is, you know, part of it. I'm not a big fan of it, but you can get other drinks.
And the thing about Germany and Europe, I feel in general, is like you don't go to the Christmas markets and get smashed. Like you don't go and get drunk. You go and you have a couple of beverages with your family, with your colleagues, you know, like you swing by. It's a very family-friendly atmosphere. I'm sure there are a few people who have a few too many, but generally it's a really family vibe.
Shout out to my friend Eric, who has a stall at the Christmas markets where they serve booze, and he got us through a couple of cold Christmas nights. Let me just put it that way.
But it's really charming, and I think it's really nice when you're in a place for a few days as well. You know, you don't have to go. It's not a one-time thing. You can just sort of like when we were in Köln, you know, we might have met up in the evening and then you meet up again in the lunchtime and you just walk through and you grab yourself like a, you know, a Bratwurst and a Glühwein and have a chat and then you carry on doing whatever you need to do for the day.
Yeah, definitely. It is quite a social thing for Germans, like, you know, who have it every year. They still, you know, everyone looks forward to the Christmas markets, and it is, like you said, a very sociable thing.
And you get really, like, you can get some really cute little unique gifts. Sort of feels more like authentic and handicraft. Like you wouldn't get a lot of plasticky crap sort of thing. You're getting soaps and candles and beautiful glassware or wooden carved things, or, you know, you could buy traditional steins, or it just feels a lot more oldie worldy, traditional.
Yeah. And there's,
you want
there's
the other stuff, you go, you don't, you know, you wouldn't go and buy jumpers and stuff, like, or a, you know, you go to H&M for that.
Yeah. But anyway, so that is, you know, that is sort of sprinkled throughout the festive season here, the Christmas markets. And then, you know, usually the few days before Christmas, people will often, like, things really wind down, sort of. Things wind down at work and then it gets pretty hectic, like, in the shops and stuff. And so Christmas Eve is the 24th of December, as it is everywhere. But Christmas Eve is kind of the important one in
the
Germany.
Main event.
Yeah. It's also funny because if it falls on a weekday, like shops and stuff will still be open till around 1 o'clock. So last minute presents are very much doable on Christmas Eve. And there's also a tradition of Frühschoppen, which is not as wildly celebrated, but it's basically you go out for a drink on Christmas Eve in the morning. So me and my dad and my brother have been doing it for the past, 8 years or something. We meet at a,
that's nice.
Meet at the pub in Düsseldorf, and you know, it's really nice feeling to be, you know, at the pub at about 10:30 in the morning with all these other people who were sort of fleeing the badness of Christmas and just having a quiet drink and a couple of Rissoles or Bratwurst and just sort of easing into Christmas like that. And then Christmas Eve is, you know, the fancy dinner and the Christmas gifts and, it's, traditionally, like, the kids will not be allowed to go into the room, the Christmas room where the tree is and stuff, because, you know, the, Santa, or even more traditionally, the Christkind, who is like, he looks, it's like a baby angel sort of figure, but it's also Jesus at the same time. So it's like baby Jesus Christmas guy.
It's like in Talladega Nights. He's like little baby Jesus, fresh newborn baby Jesus. I pray to, you know, I like to picture Jesus as a newborn baby. Like that's not how Jesus is. Anyway.
No. This is Jesus before he grew the beard. It's not Santa who really brings the presents. It's the Christkind. But I feel this like a family, like a different. Some people have the Weihnachtsmann and some people the Christkind comes. It's kind of like, you know, Christianity. You can mash different personas into one.
Make it your own. DIY.
It's fine. But
you know, choose your own adventure. You know?
So another big difference to Australia is that the presents are opened on the 24th in the evening.
Yes. Yeah, big difference.
Not on Boxing Day.
25th Christmas morning. No, we don't do Boxing Day either. Boxing Day is just for... Boxing Day is a weird day. I don't think they have it in US. That's an English and Australian thing.
Yeah. Fun fact, 1 in 4 Germans go to church on Christmas.
That's quite a lot.
And here is a fun fact, actually. In 2007, Pope Benedict XVI gave his brother George an electric foot warmer for Christmas.
What year?
2007.
Ah.
The Pope's brother George got an electric foot warmer for Christmas.
How did you find that fact?
I don't know. It was on one of the many Christmas fact research sites that I visited.
There you go. If you want to find Christmas facts, guys, a secret is revealed. That could be what you can do at Christmas. That could be a new Christmas tradition, learning Christmas facts.
Yeah,
there you go. Maybe you're welcome.
Popal giving traditions.
So what happens after Christmas Day then? You just kind of show's over, wrap it all up. Do you have a thing like... Germany have to get all your decorations down and all that sort of bad lucky stuff?
No. Decorations stay up, I feel like, till just before New Year's Eve. And the 25th and 26th are public holidays in Germany. So the 25th and 26th of December, and that's known as the first Christmas Day and the second Christmas Day. And that's traditionally reserved for visiting long-lost relatives and... getting questionable gifts and eating a lot. There's a lot of eating. Everyone gets together to eat. So there's, you know, if you have a big family, it's not unusual for people to be like here at lunch and then there at dinner and then the next day, you know, another brunch and then another dinner. Like it's very, there's a lot of social obligation.
Yes, which, you know, although some things won't be the same this year, I think there might be some people grateful for the less hecticness and the not running about business because sometimes like it gets more about having to see all the people and give all the gifts and do all the things and tick all the boxes as opposed to being about celebrating together and enjoying the time and remembering what Christmas is meant to be about. I think
presents.
I think it's changed a lot over the years, but. Well, there you go. So, that's dramatically different to what Australia is like for Christmas.
Go on then.
We pretty much, limited to Christmas Eve, Christmas Day and Boxing Day. There are Christmas days. People put up their decorations sometime in December. Generally it's, you know, you're meant to wait till 1st of December. And then it's a lot about gifts here. Like people got to do all the Christmas shopping. And like I said, people get a bit frantic with the buying of the gifts and got to cover everybody, you know, every man and his dog. Literally people buy animals for the dogs. Animals for the dogs, gifts for the dogs and for the cats. So I choose not to partake in that often. I have a no gift policy. I've had that a few times over the years because I'm more about quality time over quantity of things and also not – I love giving gifts. I love buying stuff when I think of somebody and I see them, but forced giving is not really – I feel like it's kind of losing its message. So I like a lot of families starting to do here the Chris Kringle thing where you get a name out of a hat or you allocate one person and you buy a good gift, you know, so you set a budget of $50 or $100 and you buy one person a really good gift as opposed to somebody getting 10 really shitty $10 gifts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and also for the children, I think, you know, children getting 50 toys from every single family member is not really awesome.
A friend of mine, his family, shout out to Dennis, his family every year does like a raffle. So they'll just bring general gifts and then they'll raffle them off. It's pretty funny.
That's fun. Yeah, like there's fun ways to do that. And I think to just reduce some of this unnecessary buying and waste. There's a lot of waste. So
I think like for a lot of people, like maybe it's like a early to mid 30s thing as well. Like everyone's sort of making their own money and you can buy the stuff that you want. You know, you'll generally just buy it for yourself because you can. So the, you know, people are like, oh, you know, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm like, nothing. Peace and quiet, please.
Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, experiences are something that I really love to give. Sure. Sometimes buying a voucher for someone, and honestly, I really feel like money is a really generous and thoughtful gift. So if in doubt, I'm always up
Chinese
for money.
Very Chinese of you.
It is, but then you get what you want, and you know. But then if you're just going to give each other money, then it's kind of just a transaction system. So that's where my policy comes from. Anyway, some people don't follow my ways.
Can I jump in for a second? A lot of people get super stressed over Christmas because there is a lot of social pressure to like buy expensive gifts and make it perfect. And I don't know, but I can only speak to it from a male's point of view, but there's a certain expectation that you're, you know, meant to keep everything running and just like everyone feels like that. You're not alone if you're feeling under pressure from Christmas. It's not like, you know, other people are just, they're putting on a happy face, but everyone is stressed. You know, the working year winds up and you're stressed at work. Everyone's trying to finish everything before the holidays and, you know, media's going crazy, telling you need to buy presents and make everything perfect. And just, if you can, chill out.
Relax, enjoy. And share the load, you know. Don't let, if somebody's, you know, we were meant to be, unfortunately, you know, if you've seen my Lotus posts on social media, I'm in home quarantine. So I will be having a very quiet Christmas. I will be with my darling husband, Matthew, and my kitty cat T'Challa, and my in-laws will be dropping over their leftovers for our lunch. And we'll just be watching some Christmas movies on loop, I'm pretty sure, and sleeping. But we were meant to be going to a pool party with friends, which, so again, Australia is hot. It is very hot on Christmas. Sometimes it does rain, but traditionally it's a super hot, lovely day. So you have your lunch, you do your presents in the morning, you have usually lunch, and generally there's also seafood included, is quite traditional here, prawns, and the lines for the prawns usually start 3 or 4 days before, and people are there at 4 a.m. At the boats, ready to get their prawns. That's a tradition. The poor prawns. So, and then, you know, you have a lunch, and then in the afternoon you go in the pool, and then maybe in the evening, once it's cooled down a bit and you're all a bit full and tired, you watch a Christmas movie. That's been my Christmases. But, yeah, we were meant to be going to this friend's house for a pool party. There were going to be like 20 of us, and it was such a lovely idea. What she does is say, what do you want to bring? What do people want to bring? And we were all going to contribute a dish, and then she
makes
a menu.
Everyone brings salads.
Well, you know, someone goes, I'll bring the ham, I'll bring a turkey, I'll bring a salad, I'll bring a pavlova, you know. And so then everybody's contributing to the menu, and your host doesn't have to do everything, because that's a lot for one person to have to do. So that's the other way, you know, share the load, make it community, all chip in, all make it a fun day so everybody gets to enjoy it. Christmas Eve tends to be, and this is quite traditional with all Australian things, you go for a drink. So you generally go down to the local pub. People tend to try and be home by like between 10 and midnight. I think, you know, I think the midnight thing is the Santa thing, but also wanting to get up early, right, and be with the family.
Right.
So usually I used to go down when I lived in the Shire. It was fun. You go and meet up with all the old school friends, see people you haven't seen for ages. Everybody's home, even though you live overseas and or interstate. Mm. A lot of people are back in their hometowns. So you go to the local, have a drink, yep, which obviously will be a bit different this year. And then you're home with the family the next day. And then Boxing Day, which is Australia's, you know, and maybe you can fun fact it while I'm, I think literally it was like the boxing up, the boxing of the gifts or something, or throwing away the boxes was where Boxing Day came from. But that's usually a day where you eat leftovers and you watch as well as play cricket and you spend the day in the pool. And to be honest, sometimes Boxing Day was my favourite. It was more chilled. Usually, like, mum, right, would relax more too. Dad was relaxed. You just invite friends over. You go, open door policy. We're going to be in the pool. Come over whenever you want. And, like, last year, our friends up the road did the same here. It was just open door policy. Pop in whenever you're about and we'll be drinking and eating and bring your leftovers and we'll share.
Yeah, it's a lot more sociable than in Germany. It's very much a family affair and very much like, I don't want to say behind closed doors, but everyone, like every family does their own sort of thing.
I think there's niceness to both. I think there is a niceness about having your family.
Depends on your family, eh?
Yeah. Well, it does, and that makes it hard a little bit too when you have, you know, when people start getting married and having children and yeah, the family expands and then you have to choose. So having these big, somebody says open house policy, it means in-laws, cousins, friends, neighbours, everybody can just come in and enjoy. And yes.
Yeah. Back in the day, my dad used to do the Frühschoppen. So on Christmas Eve in the morning, like he'd put on like a brunch and we'd, the house would be full of like a party, I guess, but not a party, but you know, a few drinks before Christmas. That's sort of the idea, which was also always really nice.
So I think predominantly in Australia, Christmas is an excuse to drink, as with all of our commemorative holidays and festival seasons. Yeah. They are
German alcohol drinking. Consumption rises 36% over Christmas.
That sounds, I think Australia would probably rise 60 to 70%, to be honest. And a lot of people are a bit disappointed this year about not having Christmas parties. But again, that gets really, like the weeks leading up to Christmas, I don't know what it is, but everyone's decided, I haven't seen you all year, but I have to see you in the 2 weeks leading up to Christmas.
Well, I think it's similar to like the sudden need to go to church. Is maybe like a sudden need to catch up with friends who you haven't seen all year.
To repent.
To repent. If you need repenting. In Germany, another big thing is the Christmas tree. Generally, there's hardly any plastic Christmas trees. And in fact, 30 million live trees are sold every year in Germany, like little Christmas trees.
Wow. I think it's becoming a little more popular here. I don't know where the hell they grow because pine trees are not really native. Mm. A type of pine tree would be, but they're not as common as they are in Europe and the US. Mm. But we had one ever when I was a little kid, and I think my dad got so pissed off with the pine needles that he said never again.
Well, there's – yeah.
Yeah, Matthew and I were over in the US for Thanksgiving 2 years ago in 2018, and we actually went to a Christmas tree farm and we cut down a Christmas tree. I was fine with it. Like, I liked seeing, you know, that they plant the trees and they grow the trees and they sort of take care of the area and stuff like that, but it was still felt a bit murdery. Cutting down a tree for pleasure.
This year there's a startup that I saw in the media. They're selling like potted, or they're renting potted Christmas trees so that it's not a one use sort of tree. Because it is, yeah, it isn't a nice thing if you think about it, to chop down a baby tree and decorate it and let it dry out.
Probably even less nice that once we chopped it down, Matthew and I did hunting poses and skipped around the tree. I was like, It was probably a bit tactless, but
I have some top Christmas tree facts in case you have a live Christmas tree at home. Water it, like put moisture on the stem where it's been chopped. It'll help it not dry out, because Christmas trees, when they dry out, there's a lot of oil in the needles. And I'll put one of these videos in the show notes, like how quickly a Christmas tree catches fire, because it is frightening. It is super frightening. And I remember back in the day, my dad, when my little brother was younger, we'd get huge, like 2 meter live Christmas trees and live candles on it. So like actual fire attached to it, which isn't that as dangerous, like if you buy it just before Christmas and decorate it, because it's still quite fresh. But if you ever see one of those things catch on fire, it's nuts. Absolutely crazy.
Yep. That is a good tip. But yes, so...
Hang on, one more Christmas tree fact, Emma. Mm. Did you know it was Prince Albert of Germany who introduced a tree to his new wife in 1848, who was Queen Victoria of England?
Fun fact.
And it's a two-part fact, Emma. Prince Albert is also the name of a male genital piercing. So if you're on the lookout for any last-minute gifts, whack Prince Albert voucher into your local Google. And
I'm glad this episode is airing on Christmas Day so that nobody can follow through with that.
I'm sure we can link a DIY Prince Albert video as well.
I think we won't.
We could make it a Christmas tradition that I do the show notes over Christmas.
I'm going to veto that. That is my Christmas gift to our listeners.
So, Emma, I know that you've had a number of special Christmases. What do you think was your most specialist?
It was pretty funny. Like, when we started, I thought I had had Christmas in a couple of places. Mm. So I've actually celebrated Christmas actual day in Australia, United Kingdom, and India. So that was pretty fun. But I then realized I've been in and around different countries around the Christmas time. So I've seen Christmassy things. I've been in 19 different countries. I travel a lot in November and December. This November was a bit weird for me, not being overseas. I am often in a colder place around this time of year.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, in India, I was there in 2011, and I was actually at a wedding on Christmas Day.
That seems sacrilegious.
Well, the Indians, people that I was with are Hindu and Jain religion, so they don't really, they're not fussed about Christmas.
That are their names, Hindu and Jain?
Jain is a type of religion. Jainism.
Sorry, all you Jainers.
J-A-I-N. And a Hindu is someone who is of the Hindu religion. Yes. So they got married. They actually had like a 6-day lead up to their wedding. It was pretty intense. So the actual wedding was on the 25th of December, which was an auspicious day. So what they do is when a couple gets together is they work out, they do their astrology and they work out what's going to be an auspicious date and time for them. And
what does auspicious mean?
It means good blessings, like for a good future. Uh-huh. So if you want to have a prosperous and happy marriage, you should probably check that. So it was about 6 p.m. was their time. So some people is 2 a.m. on a day or 11 a.m. or whatever. It's very random. So they had 6 p.m. on the 25th of December. So I was in a sari on my way to a wedding after getting all dressed up, and got a phone call from my mum going, Merry Christmas. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. That's today. Merry Christmas to you too. And she's like, well, what are you be doing to celebrate Christmas? I said, well, I won't. I'm off to eat curry and dance around at a wedding and follow all of their traditions. Christmas. Yeah, it was really... it was nice in the lead up because I was in Mumbai Mumbai, India with my friends, and one of my friends' families really enjoy, they like like the malls there are decorated Christmassy, even though, because there are Christian and Catholic people in India, so who would follow Christmas? But people, even my friends, are actually Parsi, and so they are a Zoroastrian religion, which means they felt like kind of fire is their god.
I like that.
It's pretty cool. So but they like the look of Christmas. So I was going to like this beautiful little shop.
It's fiery.
Yeah, it's all, you know, pretty. So we were like buying decorations for my friend's son and things like that. So it's pretty random, being like bustling streets of Mumbai and then going to a shop that's all decked out Christmassy, and you're like, this is strange. It was fun.
Indian Christmas sounds amazing.
Well, then another year I was in Bahrain, the Kingdom of Bahrain, with Indian friends. And that particular family love Christmas. So while I was there, they had decorated the whole house. And it's like the most decorated house I've ever seen. And they are 100% not Christian. She just loves Christmas. And so, and they had a really cool thing where they were – A lot of migrant families there, are people working. I shouldn't say migrant; I should say expat families. So they had made friends with their neighbours, and then the sister-in-law happened to also live there. And so they just had this open door policy. So all the families and friends just walk in between the apartments majority of the time, and we just celebrated kind of all together. It was very communal, and really, really lovely to spend time, and it was just beautifully decorated. And again, the malls had the Christmassy things. So, but I've had Christmas in the UK, actual Christmas, in 1996, 2006, 2008, 2013, and I was there very near to Christmas in 2017 and 2019. But I came home. I flew over 1 year. Oh, God, no, I've had another one. 2014, I flew over the day before Christmas because my friend was getting married on the 27th. I would have been quite happy to fly over on the 25th or 26th, but it felt a bit weird to fly, be so close yet so far. So I paid an extra $500 to fly before Christmas or so, so that I could have Christmas. And I tend to, when I'm in England, I would have family Christmas Day with my mum's side, say, and then I would have Christmas Boxing Day with my dad's side.
Yeah, and that's similar to German Christmas as well, where you split it up a little bit like that.
Yeah. So, and I have to say, Christmas in the UK is one of my favourite things. I think that's why I'm not super into decorating and stuff like that, because it just feels very Christmassy. I go to church with my my dad's side. We go to church on Christmas Eve there, and
good statistic work.
Yeah, love singing the carols with them. Again, we go to the pub after. Then we go to the pub and do the whole catch up with old friends. And because I've been so many times, I do know a lot of the neighbours and friends. And then just waking up, it feels magical. It's quite cozy. Chestnuts and all that sort of stuff. But I was, for my first Christmas in England, when I was nine, it was 1996, and my dad came and woke me up very, very early, about 6:30 or something, and he said, "Emma, it's snowing." And we ran to the window, and there was like this light dusting, like on the gingerbread houses, like it looked like icing sugar, light dusting of snow on the buildings, and
be a chemical spill.
No, definitely snow, and us kids were just like beyond, you know. And on Christmas Day, there was enough snow on the ground that we made a little snowman. And coming from Australia, when you used to hot Christmases by the pool, having a barbecue. It was pretty magic.
It hasn't snowed in around this area of Germany around Christmas for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. It's because of global warming, people.
Yes. It's a real thing. So I will rattle off the other places I've been. So I was in Scotland right before Christmas in 2017, and I remember going down the town for the, like, turning on of the Christmas lights, which was super fun. And I was there for a wedding, And then actually, funnily enough, I was there for a family friend's wedding, and a few years before I'd been there for her brother's wedding in England. They love getting married around Christmas, apparently. Sure. I've been to Austria a few times, and I've been to the Weihnachtsmarkt there. And I have to say, Innsbruck is absolutely phenomenal, so charming, so magical, being in Innsbruck around Christmas in Austria. Highly recommend.
It's pretty magical any time of year, really, is it?
I would live there in a heartbeat. It is picturesque. It is like a postcard.
It is very picturesque.
I've been in Germany. I was in there in 2006. I went to the
Jawohl.
I went to the Christmas markets with you in 2006 in Köln. I was also there. I went in Munich in 2013.
We've been to Christmas markets in Neuss as well, Emma.
And then we were there in Neuss, which we put up on the Instagram the other day. And then I was also in Germany around Christmas in 2017. And then I've been in the USA. I was there in 96 before Christmas. I was there in 2012. I have a photo with my cousin near a Christmas tree. And then 2018 with my husband. And it was very, very magical cutting down a Christmas tree and decorating and doing all that stuff. Last year, 2019, I was on a cruise ship right before, a couple of weeks before Christmas. And we went to Lifu, Vanuatu, Numia on that cruise and Mare. But Numia.
Did they decorate for Christmas?
Yeah, Numia has this little train, choo-choo train. It's like a little cart train that you can tour around the island on. And the fronts of the trains were like spectacularly decorated. And again, it's super fun. You're on an island and then you've got this little train and then there's like tinsel all over it. It was I'll put a photo up. It's awesome. And one night we went to bed and they had this mall. They had this like mall in the middle of the boat. Like these ships are massive. Right. We went to bed, no tree. In the morning, all the Christmas decorations were up. And so this massive tree had been erected in the middle of this boat. And it was beautiful. It was like, oh, wow, Christmas came to the ship. It was very special. I was in Spain in 2013 on the way to Ibiza, and I just remember Madrid being, you know, Christmassy decorated and the lights being on and things like that. As I said, Bahrain, 2016. I was in Czech Republic in 2016. That was New Year, 2006, sorry.
I was going to say 2006. That was
for New Year's Eve, so it was still a little bit Christmassy before. And I happened to, on New Year's Day, bump into this really, like, cool guy coming out of a McDonald's. Yeah.
Sounds like all the cool guys go to McDonald's.
That
was fun. This is a fun fact. We didn't know we were both in the Czech Republic.
For New Year's. No. Yeah. And so we were both hungover, doing what every hungover person does on New Year's Day, and we were at McDonald's.
McDonald's.
So there you go. If you're looking for your friends on New Year's, head to Macca's. You'll probably be there.
Also, if you're looking for food, many parts of a Christmas tree can be eaten, as it's also a great source of vitamin C.
Okay. Just in case you're ever starving at Christmas, which is like the rarest thing ever. In case the Christmas lunch doesn't work out, just start snacking on the tree.
I'm sure you can make some sort of, chop off a few branches and make like a delicious steeped tea.
You could make a tree and leave.
Oh. Emma, drop mic. End recording.
I'm out, people. That was my Christmas gift to you.
Except
miracles do happen.
They don't have leaves. They have needles, right?
Don't ruin it, Darius. I'm going to keep going. I was also in Hungary in 2017 before Christmas and went to the Christmas markets with our beautiful friend Emily. And that was lovely because...
Oh, Emily.
Because they had some really yummy, like, traditional sort of foods and things. So...
Langos?
Yes. Lavosh, did you say?
Langos.
Langos. Yes, that was like a pizzeria-like thing. It was very yummy. And they had this yummy dessert thing. There was a lot of pastry. It was a lot of sugar, a lot of deliciousness. So that was very charming. And then I was in Finland. I've been putting up photos recently of this in 2013. And I went...
With Marika.
And you could go there any time of the year. But, we went to Lapland to meet Santa. And that is 100% hands down bucket list material. Like you, I don't care where you're at on the Santa scale, going there, being in that place in the North Pole, it is magic. And walking into the room, and there, I met a couple of Santas, not going to lie, but this one particular one, he was awesome at the Santa park. And I walked into the room and I was like, "Hi, Santa." He's like, "Have you been good?" I was like, "Yes." He's like, "You've come, wherever you're from," we're like, "We're Australia." And he's like, "Oh, you've come very far." I was like, "Yes, we have Santa." My friend's 2.5-year-old was petrified and really not interested. And I was like, "Shush, you're ruining it for me." But it was so much fun. It was just all magical. And then we went to Helsinki and I went to, which is the capital of Finland, and we went to the Christmas markets there, and they had some really unique, beautiful Scandinavian sort of handicrafts and things. It was very wonderful to experience. I have a Christmassy vibe from Switzerland and France because I was there. I went to the snow, but it was January, but I just feel like the snow is always kind of Christmassy.
Doesn't count.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Okay, it doesn't count. I was in South Africa and Kenya and Tanzania in 2008 before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Didn't see a lot of Christmassy going. South Africa was like Australia, like kind of hot. We had a Christmas party, but like there might have been a tree. That was kind of the extent of it. A lot of partying, a lot of drinking, a lot of socializing because it's in the lead up to the festive season. Yeah. I was in Mexico in 2008, just on New Year's, and all the Christmas lights in Mexico City were still up, the Navidad, and that was spectacular. So that was really cool to experience. And I've also been there in 2012 around the Christmas period too. And then Canada. I was there in 2007 and I went to the ski fields again just before New Year's, but that it was called Big White in BC, British Columbia, was the ski field. And it just was like a Christmas village all the time. We did actually have a tree in the town, but it was like decorated tree. But the lights and the way, like if you imagine those, you know, sometimes people for decorations have those little Christmas villages in their house. Like my dad does it, the Lamax little houses. Well, Big White looks like that on like just to scale.
Sure.
So I think that's all of my Christmas experiences. So, but I've only technically been in Christmas Day in Australia, UK and India. But I'm kind of like the Four Holidays movie. I don't know if you've seen that, Darius, but it's a fun movie with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon, and they're a bit anti-Christmas with the family. So
Emma, did you hear about the actress who got stabbed at the Oscars?
No.
Her name Reese. What's her last name? Reese something?
Witherspoon.
No, with a knife. We're leaving that in.
Yes, okay. Four Holidays. Anywho, they don't like spending Christmas with their family, which is not no thing on my family. It's just it's the stress and the thing like that, and who do you go to and da-da-da. So they like going away to tropical islands and then lie to their family and tell them they're doing like charity work every Christmas. So I won't lie to everybody. I will just be like, I'm not doing this. I'm going to Fiji. Bye.
Good.
Yeah, having Christmas in other places can be really fun, and especially places that are not like home, like going to the Pacific Islands or going to the other side of the world can be a really fun way to spend Christmas. So I do recommend Christmas travel.
Yeah.
It was a really long way to get to that point.
But book in advance because last minute Christmas travel is expensive.
It is. It is expensive. And if you fly just before Christmas, so if you are going on holiday, sometimes it's actually a good idea to go on Christmas Day. The flights are not that bad. And flying on Christmas, they kind of make it fun as well. I haven't actually done that, so I'll have to do that sometime. I haven't.
I've flown over Easter. This is back in the day where you could go into the cockpit. And I remember I got Easter eggs from the captain while in the cockpit.
You'll have to save that story for the Easter episode, Darius.
Okay.
No, it was good. I liked it. It's also fun flying on New Year's, apparently. celebrating New Year's in the air.
Hmm.
So, yeah. So wherever you are, please tell us how you celebrate Christmas. We'd love to hear from you. You know the drill. Yep. Come into the we've been chatting about it anyway. It's pretty fun in the Lovely Travels community. We've been talking about what our plans are and how we do Christmas. We've got Instagram. You can tag us in your photos, hashtag Lovely Travels, or you can just, you know, interact with us there. Email us, info@lovelytravels.com, or head to our Facebook page as well, where we'll be putting up a bunch of photos of Christmas memories and Christmas from around the world. So that is Lovely Travels on Facebook.
And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, make sure you have a happy and safe and relaxed time as much as possible. Don't stress. If you are feeling stressed, just, you know, call one of us and shout into the phone. We'll understand.
And then, yes, and from us to yours, Merry Christmas. And Darius, maybe you can say it in Deutsch.
Ich wünsche all unseren Hörern ein fröhliches Weihnachtsfest und einen guten Rutsch ins neue Jahr.
Ja, sehr gut. Thanks, guys. Merry, Merry Christmas. Be safe, be healthy, be happy.
And we'll hear you all soon.
See you in the new year.
Bye-bye.